Go ahead and ask your questions.
Hold on just a moment. I'm pulling it up.
Okay.
All right, so I didn't actually, like, fully look into, like, or maybe I didn't listen to the one that where you asked, like, why you started to do this, but what was your, like, interest in starting in Gone Wild Audio?
I actually didn't make a response to that, but I did say what got me to find the community. So what got me to find a community was, of all things, Kong Styles' audio of Macho Man Randy Savage. And, like, what got me to choose to join was I felt that I'd like to express myself a little, at least, like, with what I'm interested in and sexually and stuff. And then I also felt it would help me learn to speak clearly and without my stutter. And along with that, to help stop the filler words, which I know I'm using right now. And also to help boost self-confidence.
So, like, with this being, like, very an expressive sort of hobby, like, do you plan to pursue something with voice recording, maybe, or acting, or anything like that?
I actually do want to look into voice acting and stuff, but at the same time, I'm not sure where to start and if I'd actually be able to, like, do decent voices or get a wide range of them. Because I'm not really vocally trained, so I'm not sure where I'd be able to go with it, but I still hope I can.
Now, I see, like, you have some of these, like, music audios. I haven't listened to them yet, but I imagine they're great. Do you like singing a lot?
I do, yeah. Especially with, like, metal songs, specifically power metal, like Blind Guardian, Gloryhammer, and stuff like that.
Are you into mostly metal, or do you like other music?
I am primarily into metal. However, I really enjoy, like, a specific indie songwriter called Miracle of Sound. It's a one-man band by a guy named Gavin Dune, where he does a bunch of stuff, like, he will go from, like, orchestral to folk, tons of different stuff. And I think with how his voice works and how he's able to write his stuff up, it fits him really well.
I mean, I see that you have, like, Sweeney Todd and forget what else was on there, but like, do you like to watch, like, plays and sort of musical movies?
I am actually not really, like, from what I've experienced, I'm not really a fan of musicals, but, like, two of my favorite films ever are the musicals, like, Tim Burton's Sweeney Todd and then Joss Whedon's Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog. And then I think there's, like, one or two other musicals, but those two are, like, two of my absolute favorite films, but they're also musicals. And I think part of why I enjoy it is because they're very different than what you see in other musicals where they're all, like, cheery and jolly. Dr. Horrible's is a bit, but they also try making a comedic spin with it that others don't, especially with the fact that it's like, superheroes and supervillains. Plus, I'm a fan of Nathan Fillion and Neil Patrick Harris.
So, okay, I guess I'll ask a spicy question now. So, do you identify as bisexual, or what would you identify as? I guess should be the question. Like, you obviously make audio for, you know, men and women.
While I do that, I'm not entirely sure if I'm bisexual or bicurious, because in person I've never actually done anything with a guy, but I have done stuff like camming and voice stuff with guys, and I've enjoyed it. Plus, I enjoy looking at gay porn and stuff, so I at least look at myself as, at the very least, bicurious.
Okay. Have you ever been sexually... Sorry, I need to repeat the question.
It's okay.
Have you ever been, like, sexual with a woman before?
Yeah. Like I've done it with actual sex and stuff, or, like, being flirty or sexting and stuff. I've done all of that. And, like, I definitely enjoy it. So, there's that. not really sure how else I can really comment on that without like really going deep into it.
I mean, that's good. I'm just curious.
No, it's okay.
I don't know if like if I like so many different like I guess performers would be the word to use, but like I don't know if I ever saw like a kink thing for you, or like what are you into, like what makes you get hot and bothered.
So for me, like I really enjoy like being rough. Like it doesn't have to be like BDSM, though I do enjoy it. Like it can just be simple stuff like being primal over the idea of like literally, as the category counts it as primal breeding, because like I have a thing for cream pies, I have a thing for just going at it like animals. I think that's what I really like, along with dirty talking. And then one of my other biggest kinks would be literally ass and ass play. But I'm not gonna, like, I'm fine with it if people judge me for it. I'm not gonna judge them for their shit.
I mean, to each their own, right?
Sorry?
To each their own, right?
For some reason, I'm not picking up that clear. What?
Sorry, to each their own?
Yeah, essentially.
So, what's your favorite audio type? Do you like romantic, smutty?
It actually depends on what I'm on what the idea of the entire script is. I'm a killer for like backstory and stuff, but at the same time, I'm also all for like just getting straight to the point. And I think my favorite at like making build up scripts would be Catgirl Detective, which she did a lot of the scripts that I do. Ooh, and she's honestly really good at what she does. And while she may not make things that I'm not always interested in, I still love looking at how she builds everything up. Especially since a lot of it can be, like, smutty or romantic or even a bit of both, which I really enjoy a mix of the two. Because I like the idea of feeling affectionate yet lustful.
Have you did any other scripts by any other writers before?
Yeah. Like, just yesterday, Numi Red made the script for my Orc Stronghold one, which was like literally just a script based on the Elder Scrolls. And then I also did one with with a Star Wars theme as a Sith Lord. And let me see who wrote that again, because I really enjoyed the script, but I can never remember the guy's name, and I feel horrible for it. Let's see, I'm quickly checking my posts. Like, I know for a fact, like, this is another script that I had looked at least, which was by Moleskidden, was basically, like, an elf king that was, like, yandere, really possessive, that sort of thing. While I enjoyed it, it was a bit, like, for me it was a bit too much for me. But, again, that's, like, my personal preference. It's a really good script, but... Alright, so the Sith Lord one was actually written by Last Stage Infernalism. And to be honest, if he makes another Star Wars script that's like a male voice, I am definitely going to read it. And if I like it, I'm definitely going to fill it out, because I love Star Wars scripts. They just... Like, I'm just passionate about the series.
So the next question would be, like, what kind of genres of genres in general, like sci-fi, fantasy, maybe like, I guess, what would you call it, old school-ish?
I personally, I'm, as long as it's a scenario I feel like I would enjoy being in, I'm down for it. Like, That's what I do with the scripts. I find ones that I would love to be a part of, and I try filling those out. Like the Sith one, it's kind of iffy because I'm not I both am interested in, but also a bit uncomfortable with the idea of, like, rape or non-consent, due to the idea of, I've always been told, you want consent. You always want to make sure they enjoy it too, and that they want it too. So it is a bit of a jarring thing for me to try those out, but I still enjoy them at the same time.
Have you ever, the Diary Detective one really reminds you of, like, a Lovecraftian sort of, like, background to it. Do you have any, like, background on that at all?
In Lovecraftian stuff?
Yeah.
No, I personally have not really read almost anything from H.P. Lovecraft, if not anything at all. But I love the idea of Lovecraftian horror, like being afraid of the unknown and stuff, because it's a simple yet very powerful fear. If I was to make an audio for it, I'd look into it, but I'm not sure I would actually be able to do it properly.
Where do you get most of your music from? Because like the background in the Diary Detective was really cool, I thought.
I actually literally found open source karaoke instrumentals. Other than my two Sabaton covers, which were both from Project Ayano, they did musical covers of the songs that were, instead of being power metal, they were turned into folk. So I decided, why not sing over them? I did, of course, credit them as the original creators of the instrumental. So, like, because I'm not going to take their shit and say it's mine, especially since I really like their work. If it's karaoke instrumental, it's not as advanced as it could be, but it's still enough to get the idea of what it sounds like.
So aside from making audios, what other hobbies do you have? I know you're looking for, like, a Pathfinder group, and I see a gaming text channel on here, so what are your, like, your hobbies?
Some of my hobbies include, like, I am a bit into digital art. Like, that's actually how I made my avatar for Reddit and here. Because, like, that was hand-drawn over, like the Fire Alpaca program. And then I also, I'm not very good at it, but I'm learning guitar, mandolin, and then I seem to be pretty okay with ocarina. And then, like, some other small things. Like, yeah, I'm definitely into gaming, because it's kind of like what I spent most of my childhood doing. And then other than that, like, my other really big passion would be trading card games and tabletop games.
Like Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh?
Magic the Gathering and Yu-Gi-Oh are ones I play. However, my absolute favorite at the moment would have to be Cardfight Vanguard, which is another Japanese one made by some of the creators of Yu-Gi-Oh.
I've seen the anime. I've never played the game before.
I feel like the anime doesn't do it justice. I feel like it's way too... It reminds me way too much of Yu-Gi-Oh's anime, which I rarely even watch, because it's basically believe in the fate of the cards and everything.
Yeah.
No, it's a card game. Believe in your ability to shuffle.
So what kind of video games do you play?
I'm actually extremely picky with the games I enjoy. Like, when it first released or so, like maybe a year or two after, I was given Skyrim for my birthday. And I played the fuck out of that thing. And then there was other stuff like, one sec, sorry. Some background noise. But I know another one that I really liked was, the Assassin's Creed games, before it got, like, way too over the fucking top with stuff like, mainly Assassin's Creed Origins. I felt like bringing it all the way back to Egypt was a bit too far for my interests. Even though I know, like, game lore-wise, the order, like, the entire group that you play as was made before man was even counted as its own species. But at the reason why I dislike it is because I feel like they're kicking the dead horse way too much.
Yeah, it's like you have so many sequels to like one game that's done so well, and you just kind of like dilute it more by having multiple games of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Todd Howard did with Skyrim. Oh, we'll release it for like first computers and consoles. Oh wait, now we'll release it on like the Nintendo Switch. How about on your fucking refrigerator? I don't give a shit as long as I get money from it.
What kind of character do you play in like a Pathfinder or in kind of role playing game?
I'm actually kind of iffy on that because I, like with Pathfinder, I've never actually had a all out game yet. But with the ones I have looked at, I definitely really want to try Gunslinger, which is a Pathfinder exclusive class, or something simple like a sorcerer or a wizard. My very first tabletop game class and character was literally named Greg the Half-Elf Wizard. And I've always like had an interest in the arcane classes in tabletop games since then. And for Dungeons & Dragons version 3.5, the edition that Pathfinder was supposed to be compatible with and kind of like refine a little, my favorite class out of that entire system was Warlock.
With a pet or without a pet?
Warlocks actually didn't come with familiars or pets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could take feats, basically like little bonuses, to allow you to have one, but they didn't start out with one. Instead of, like, I think part of it was because wizards and sorcerers and almost every other magical class gave you a limited amount of times you could cast a spell per a day for your level. So, like, maybe you could only cast, like, 2 level 5 spells a day, but, like, 5 level 0 spells. Thing is, warlocks could cast any spell, like, if I'm right, any spells any amount of times a day. They just had a smaller range of spells that were somewhat more powerful. Plus, I felt that the idea that you had to, that warlocks had to exchange, like, their soul or some other material value for their magic, because that seems like a more reasonable way to, like, a more reasonable approach at magic, rather than just being like, oh, you read a book and now you can, like, shoot fire out of your fingers, or your family apparently got a little frisky in some of your ancestry, and now you have some dragon blood in you. So, now you can blast acid out of your hand or something. So to me, Warlock seemed like the most explainable way to do it, and in general to me, the most fun and, in a, like, kind of metagaming way to do it, as bad as that sounds.
So I take it was your favorite class to play? That's the Warlock?
Yeah, like, at least for 3.5. For, like, I didn't really try 4th edition, because, to me, like, for a time I was like, ooh, this looks really cool, but then when I actually looked into it, I'm like, this is literally, like, an MMORPG put onto paper. Why am I playing this if I can go onto Neverwinter Online and literally do the exact same thing? And then, like, for 5th edition, I liked how they actually went back to, like, stuff similar to the 3.5 system, but for me, they changed it a bit too much. They took away feats and replaced them so then you could either get ability score bonuses or feats. Or, like, you had to replace one of your features for a feat. And then they added, like, their backstory system is really minimalistic, and it limitates what you can do role-playing wise, unless you actually go homebrew by saying, like, you can make a background how you want it, while Wizards of the Coast decided to say, no, you gotta stick with this, like, with how we initially set it, you have to roll dice to see how you end up. And this can change how your character acts throughout your entire game.
Sounds like you did, like, a lot of reading about this.
I did, but at the same time, I feel like I did a bit too little. Because, like, that's more of a personalized view of the background system, I could, of course, be getting something wrong about it, but when I look at a role-playing game system, I want to look at some of the details on, like, how much they allow you to actually implement role-playing. Like, I actually really enjoyed a part of Edge of the Empire, a Star Wars RPG that was meant to be, like, in the fringes of the galaxy. They actually allowed players to implement parts of story through the use of, like, the light and dark side points at the beginning of each game. And what they did was essentially say, you could, say you're on a planet where you have to wear gas masks to even approach the surface, but your crew doesn't have these. The players can literally use one of these dark side points and convert it into a dark side point. Well, I mean, a light side point, convert it to a dark side point, which is essentially what the game master uses to give boons to the players rather than benefits. And they could say, yeah, we actually have gas masks. We have spare ones in, like, so-and-so compartment of the ship. To me, I feel like that gives more of the feel of Star Wars, with, like, luck being a part of a lot of the stuff in it. And, in like, if it's actually, like, adding the Force and stuff to it, the Force. I honestly think it's a really cool, addition to role-playing game systems, and I think if other groups did it properly, it could definitely change how some stories go in a positive or negative way, which is what I like about it. Because it's not entirely the whole idea of everything has to go well for the players. No, they could literally expend something to benefit them, and then it end up with, like, half the party dead, like, 10 minutes later. It's like that risk and reward thing. Because they're risking the chance at something fucking them over for a reward of, we get this at the moment benefit. But yeah, that's my outlook on the role-playing game stuff. I was rambling on that way too long. Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. It definitely was very interesting to hear, like, a whole perspective on that. I was not expecting that, to be honest with you.
I'm sorry.
I have played, like, D&D, and I think I did, like, one game of Pathfinder before in my life, but like, it's always interesting to hear, like how different players want to, like, approach the game. I'm much more of, I've always wanted to do more of a role-play aspect to a Pathfinder game, but somehow I always ended up playing with players who always, like, treated like a Call of Duty game, where it's just, like, oh, go behind the guy and, like, stab him. I'm just like, this is not how you play this game, guys.
Yeah, you're both right and wrong, actually, because you should be able to, like, yeah, implement role-playing, but you can still have fun with, like, the action of it. Like, for example, you could still have character development through actions you do in a fight. Like, maybe your character has moral questionings over killing a specific bad guy because they had a reason behind what they were doing. So, maybe in the middle of a fight, you decide to accidentally slip a smoke grenade to let them escape. But, like, the idea of, like, running up behind someone and stabbing them, you could still be descriptive about how you attack someone, because it still adds a bit of that flair. So, in general, it can be both a benefit and a disadvantage to try and, like, be, like, all-out combat or all-out, like, storytelling. Like, for a specific party, you want a balance between the two that fits that specific party and the specific players. The DM should not really force a specific way, unless it is what the players want.
Right. It'd be tailored to the player experience.
Exactly.
All right, here's a rude question.
Okay.
You're a new addition to a crayon box. What color would you be and why?
Blood red. It is my favorite color, even though it sounds very violent.
Okay.
To me, it just attracts to me, and I'm not sure why. Like, I know there's some like symbolic ways to look at colors, but to me it's just, this one looks like the prettiest of them all, so why not?
What do you think about when you're alone in your car?
Sorry?
What do you think about when you're alone in your, like, your car or by yourself?
It could vary from anything to, like, why am I doing whatever I'm doing, or, like, what'll I have for dinner tonight? Or I think, like, actually earlier today, I wonder how many times I'll use my toy today. Will I go over 10, or will I just stick under 5?
Oh my god. It's okay, so, like, how often a day do you use your toy?
Like, if it's just simple masturbating, it's at least, like, daily or bi-daily. Sometimes 3 if I'm, like, really pent up or something. But, like, the toy, it's usually, like, at least 1 or 2 of those times.
Okay. Sorry, I'm blushing a little bit.
I'm sorry.
I got her here.
I'm sorry.
It was great. I loved that. The response was perfect. Okay, so let's talk about food.
Okay.
What's your favorite food that you could eat every day if you could?
Does coffee count?
Yes.
Then I'll go with coffee.
All right. What kind of coffee? Just hot coffee?
Like, I'm not real. Like, I really prefer, like, sweetened coffee, like with sugar and creamer, but. If I have to survive off of, like, black coffee, I'm gonna do that. Cause it helps with like me keeping my focus and stuff, because I'm very disorganized. I'm very out of focus a lot, so coffee helps keep that in order for me.
So are you like a coffee connoisseur where the beans have to be from, like, a certain place, or are you just like any coffee?
Oh no, whatever coffee works. As long as it doesn't, like, taste like absolute crap, I'm gonna drink it.
What about instant coffee?
No, that's not coffee. It has to be actual coffee grounds. Not weird powder.
Okay, so, if you could be any animal in the world, what animal would you be?
I could be the smartass here and say humans, since they qualify as an animal, but, like, if I had to choose one, it would probably be sugar gliders of all things. Like, not only do I have, like, 2 as pets, but I also, like, they're also the closest to, well, some of the closest animals to having an emotional spectrum to humans.
I just googled a sugar glider. What is this? It is so cute.
So they're little marsupials that came from New Guinea and Australia. And for a time, they were, like, allowed into America and stuff. However, they had to close, like, they had to restrict it. So then they're like, okay, no more sugar gliders could be brought into America. We have way too many right now. However, we will keep any gliders that are still here or raised here. So, they got their name because they're kind of like flying squirrels, with the fact that they can, like, jump and kind of fly with gliding patagiums, or whatever the fuck they're called. But then the sugar part of it is because they have a natural love for the sweetness and natural sugars of fruit, which is most of their diet in Australia and New Guinea.
So do you let your sugar gliders, like, just roam around your house or in your room?
Oh, no. Like, they're so small that they could get into a lot of shit that could be dangerous for them. So, like, they're already really, like, they are some of, like, the most fragile things on Earth. Like, give them even, like, a single ounce of, like, spice or seasoning and they could die. But, instead... And since I still currently live with family and all while I get ready for college and stuff, we keep the gliders in cages, like about the size of, like, a person in height, and then almost as wide as, like, half a twin bed. So it's pretty spacious for them because they're, like, the size of your hand.
What do you feed them?
Sorry?
What do you feed them?
Well, we, like, the family specifically uses a diet that we found online that's supposed to be, like, the most accepting for glider health. Like, as in most gliders' bodies will accept it and keep them in a healthy weight and everything. And it's basically making what looks like frozen barf. It's like a bunch of, like, it's a bunch of applesauce, bunch of different fruit, some protein like an egg or maybe like boiled chicken meat, and a few vegetables. But with how much applesauce there is and how some of the stuff can change the consistency of like how solid and how chunky it is, it looks like barfsicles. But the gliders seem to love them and it keeps them healthy, so I'm fine with making more of it if it makes them okay.
Just imagining like these little tiny like barf popsicle looking things.
Yeah, like we fill up ice cube trays with this stuff.
Oh my god. I mean, I guess it's okay. I mean, they're pretty cute, and just seeing like a little sugar glider eating like a tiny popsicle thing. So okay, what was the last gift you gave someone?
The last one I gave someone would have to be, I went with a couple friends to the mall the other day, like, simply to fuck around, and one of my friends is, like, a complete stoner kind of guy. So, I jokingly brought him to Greenfields, essentially a hippie shop in the mall, and bought him a bong. And then I realized that he was actually planning on using it that night. And I just look at him saying, that escalated quickly. And he just simply responds with something along the lines of like, just like my mood's going to.
Oh my god.
But, yeah, if I'm right, that's the most recent gift I gave anyone. A fucking bong.
What's the strangest gift you've ever gotten?
The strangest? Well, yes. I once had a girlfriend who, her uncle sent me a replica shrunken head for a museum display.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, it's not a real one, but it's surprisingly, like, I still have it, and it's a few years old now. But it definitely keeps people away.
I, to be honest, I probably would have gotten rid of it by now, but I mean,
like, I'll be like, I am into some of the weird, grim, somewhat morbid stuff, because depending on what it is kind of cool. Of course, that doesn't mean I'm all for it, but like, if it's replica stuff, I'm gonna have a slight interest, especially since I have like black humor. Like with jokes about morgues and everything.
Do you usually get like a conversation started with what's a small tiny head doing in your room?
No, I haven't had that happen yet, but like, usually because I keep it like at the corner of a desk.
Oh, okay.
So then like, I have actually had like one person like come in looking around on the room. I think it was actually a cousin one time, and they're like, what the fuck is on your desk? Oh, that's Jeffrey. Say hi.
You named it?
I jokingly called him Jeffrey for that moment, but yes, since then he's been called Jeffrey.
Do you like give names to like other inanimate objects, like your car or things like that?
I'm not really one for naming in most inanimate objects, but like, if it's a gift, like a little stuffed animal or something, yeah, I've given it names.
All right. Do you have any like names you'd like to give to like people or people you're like intimate with?
I've never actually given, like, an intimate name to someone. Like, unless you count, like, technique. I've called old one or two girlfriends like my precious angel or my goddess or something like that, but it's not like a thing I call anyone like 100% of the time. It's more like when I feel it's the proper moment.
Gotcha.
Because to me, like pet, like giving what are basically pet names to people doesn't seem right. Like I should call them by their name, and I should be able to use that without the need of giving them a new name just to show like, hey, this is our form of relationship. I should show that by action, not by word.
How did your name come about? Like, Kano?
So, Kano is actually, like, most people will attribute it to, like, Kano from Mortal Kombat, but when I first started, like, getting into, like, communities and stuff that were, like, kinky and shit, I decided to be very, very dumb. Like, I think I was actually, like, half-stoned from medications when I did it, but I decided to look up, like, what the Japanese word for manly was, and Kano came up. So I'm like, fuck it, Kano it is. And then, like, Monty, at least for, like, my Reddit name and stuff, originated from the fact that a part of my name is shortened to Monty for stuff like usernames and, like, other stuff. Like, I'm not specifying which part of my name it is or what that word, like, what that specific word is, but, you know.
So, you know, going back to Kano, or Kano.
Yeah.
Do you perceive yourself or, like, wanting to be, like, masculine, dominant, alpha?
It depends on how you look at it, because, like, yeah, I do like being the a leader and an idol to look at kind of thing, but at the same time I feel that manliness is simply being yourself and not being afraid of letting people judge you no matter what you do. Let it be something like if it's your thing, dressing up as like a pretty ballerina and being like this big buff guy at the same time. I will consider that manly, since you are not allowing people to judge you for it. You are just simply doing it because you enjoy it. But yeah, at the same time, I also feel like I would like to be somewhat like the ideal masculine thing, but in my own style. Because, like, I've definitely done submissive stuff in audio and in reality. But I can still be manly as fuck while doing it.
I laughed when you were mentioning like being like masculine and dressing up like in a ballerina. Yeah, I was like thinking of like the Japanese metal band. I think it's Lady Baby.
Like baby metal?
No, it's a Lady Baby's like a I think another group, but I'm not sure because I'm just like a thought in my head. I remember, like, this bearded man wearing, like, a maid outfit and then, like, doing screaming metal.
I have to find this. I have to find and watch that, because that sounds funny, but at the same time, fucking awesome.
Yes, I just thought about that as you were talking about it.
Well, it's definitely a way to get attention. I'll give you that.
Definitely is one way to get attention.
How about we do one more question before we go ahead and wrap up?
Yeah, fine. Here's a fun one.
All right.
I just found it. A penguin walks through the door. Or sorry, a penguin walks through that door right now wearing a sombrero. What does he say and why is he here?
Hey, mi amigo, let's go to Mexico. As racist as that sounds, that's what I heard when I first heard sombrero wearing penguin. Maybe he'll, like, bring some... I don't fucking know what he'll bring. Maybe he'll bring, like, a mariachi band of, like, fucking seals with him? I'm down to party. Still, definitely a fun question to wrap this up with.
I liked that answer.
At the same time, I do want to apologize if that was at all racist. But thanks for asking the questions. I really did appreciate it, and I had a fun time answering.
It's my pleasure.